Don't feel bad. That's okay. Oh, man. Get out. Come on down. So thanks so much for joining me today, everybody. I am so excited to be here. This is probably the most excited I've been for a conference in years, probably about 3 years, if we had to pinpoint an exact time. But yeah, I'm super excited to be here because I love GraphQL, love mobile, and the two are just literally made for each other. It's just, GraphQL is just this amazing technology. It allows us to make our mobile apps make more efficient API requests. It allows our mobile apps to make fewer API requests. It allows our mobile apps to return less data. So at the bottom of these slides today, you will see a link. This is a website that I made just for us, just for today. This is where you'll be able to find all of the content that we're going to cover. So don't worry about memorizing anything, because on that webpage is where you can find the slides. We have a couple open source GitHub samples that I've put together just for you all. Those are also linked there. And if you're interested in learning even more about GraphQL, I've included some additional links, some resources that I used when I was learning about GraphQL, and I know they'll be helpful for you as well. So let's jump into it. So quick show of hands before we get started here. How many folks have created a GraphQL API? Nobody. Awesome. What about accessing a GraphQL API? Maybe you've written a mobile app, hit an existing API. Okay, a couple hands, great. Well, don't worry about that if you haven't, because that's exactly what we're covering today. But let's see, how many folks have interacted with a REST API? There we go, okay, perfect. So to understand what GraphQL is, it really helps to understand why it exists. And GraphQL was created back in 2012 by Facebook. Now, since then, Facebook has open sourced it. They open sourced the GraphQL framework in 2015, and shortly after that was created the GraphQL Foundation by the community, which now owns and maintains all the different GraphQL libraries. So there are all sorts of different GraphQL libraries that all do the same thing, but for different languages. So you got one for JavaScript, TypeScript, and of course for us in .NET. Now, Facebook created GraphQL shortly after they released their mobile app to the app stores. And when they released their mobile app, they quickly realized that they were getting a lot of complaints. Users were complaining about poor battery life. Users were complaining about the Facebook app just draining their battery, using too much of their data. And so when the team at Facebook went and looked at it, they found that their mobile app was making hundreds of API requests just by launching the app. And if you look at the app here, this is just a screenshot that I took from my phone today, that you can see there's tons of data coming down from Facebook. Facebook likes to pull down your stories, but it's not just a button, right? It's a quick little snippet image of the story with my friend's name and their profile pictures. Below that is my timeline, so I can see my friend's latest status updates. But again, it's their name, it's the date that they posted it, it's the text. If there's an image, they have the image there. And then also when the app loads, it loads up that notification tab as well, which loads even more data, like events. So there's my friend's wedding, and again, it's his name and his profile picture along with it. And we have our friend recommendations, so their names, their profile pictures, our mutual friends count, just tons and tons of data. And if you think about how this was working with REST APIs, the Facebook app was likely making a call first to /user/ID to get information about me and my profile. And then once it has that, it can start making other calls to other APIs like events, friend suggestions. But then even once you make API calls to friend suggestions, that just returns back a list of IDs. So now it has to make even more API calls to that /user/ID to get that person's name and their profile picture. So you can quickly see how these API requests, they cascade. They multiply one into another. They're dependent on each other because you have to make one first, wait for that to come back, then make another one. And so when the Facebook team was looking at it, they said there's gotta be a better way. And so what they did, they took all of these REST API endpoints and consolidate them down to one. And so now, when the Facebook app launches, it makes one API request to one endpoint. Now, I know what you're thinking. If this is just one endpoint, this thing must return just tons of data. Because if they're only making one API request, that means all that data is coming back. So what is that, like a 50 meg JSON file? That's got to be nasty. And well, the team at Facebook figured that out too, and they came up with this query language. So this query language allows us to tell the Facebook's GraphQL API exactly what we want to get back. And then in the response, it returns exactly the data we asked for. So let's take a look at this query here. This query, we ask for a user of a certain ID, so I put in my Facebook user ID there, and I say, for that user, give me the name and the events count. And also for that user, I want one friend suggestion, and for that friend suggestion, give me that person's name and our mutual friends count. And in the response, we get back this JSON payload. It's the same JSON we know and love that comes back with REST APIs. This is what we would pass into JSON.NET, deserialize it into a C# object, great. But what comes back is exactly what we asked for. We can see there's the user object with my name, Brandon Minnick. Looks like I have four upcoming events. There's the one friend suggestion with whose name is Seth Juarez, and looks like we have 18 mutual friends. And so what we can do now is, instead of having to make multiple API requests, we only have to make the one, and we get back exactly the data we need. Now, let's take a minute to think about this, because this is pretty incredible, because what's happening here is we're taking the power away from the API and bringing it over to the client side. Because now on the client side, and us as the mobile app developers, we can request what data we want. If we want to change the shape of the data, if we want different fields, different properties to come back, we don't have to create a new API endpoint like we would typically have to do in REST. We can just tweak our query and get back exactly the data we need. So we don't have to worry about building up all these different REST APIs, or you know, typically we're on big teams, right? And that means, well, we would have to open up a ticket for the backend team, and then 2 weeks later, maybe they've created the new REST API. No, we have that power now on the client side to do whatever we want. So we can now iterate quicker, make our mobile apps faster. And it's not just that dev loop that's faster, it's this response. We only have to make one API call. There's no more chained API calls that are waiting on data from a previous one. We can just request it all in that one query. And that query is smaller. We don't have to worry about that problem known as overfetching, where a REST API returns back tons of data. Like, you know, we don't need my birth date. We don't need the date my account was created. We just wanted the name and my events count, and that's exactly what we got back with GraphQL. So this response, yes, that's JSON, but that query is not. It looks like JSON, but if you look, kind of squint your eyes, there's no colons, there's no quotation marks. This is actually a unique query language that the team came up with just for GraphQL. So great, right? We're all excited to learn about GraphQL, but now we gotta learn a whole new query language. Well, that's a pain. Turns out it's actually pretty easy, and I wanna walk through it together using GitHub's GraphQL API. So I've navigated to the GitHub API here in my browser, and what comes up when you navigate to the API is this GUI called Graphical. So it's a, you know, it's a funny play on words because it's a graphical user interface for your GraphQL backend. You know, perhaps whoever came up with that name. But Graphical is this amazing tool that lets us explore and create queries right here in the browser. And even more powerful than that, it's self-documenting. What we see here in this documentation explorer, sometimes it's hidden here behind this little docs tab. This documentation explorer, when Graphical loads, it walks through our GraphQL schema And it will display every object, every field that can return from our GraphQL API. So we don't have to worry about documenting our APIs. We don't have to worry about even doing anything with Swagger. It's all just there included for us with this cool tool called Graphical. And like GraphQL, Graphical is also an open source library, and it's kind of become the de facto GUI. There is another one called GraphQL Playground, basically does the same thing. So let's check out this Documentation Explorer, right? Because what we're greeted with is two root types. Now these root types, these are the same root types for every GraphQL endpoint. So no matter if you're at GitHub's GraphQL API or Facebook's or Airbnb's GraphQL API, you're always gonna see these two root types. Now query, that's a read. That means we're requesting data back from the server, but we're not changing anything. Mutation is the opposite. That's gonna be our creates, our updates, our deletes. That means we're going to change data on the server. Now, since I did have to log into GitHub, I don't wanna change anything. So let's do a query today together. But what's also cool about this is, see this here on the left? This is actually the syntax for our GraphQL query. So to get started, I'm just gonna copy and paste this over here. And when I click this query object, it shows me all the different fields that we can query for. And so let's take a look at this list. So it's everything that comes back from GitHub, right? Like GitHub licenses, there's GitHub Marketplace, there's things we expect like GitHub organizations, GitHub repositories. It's all here, but I wanna scroll down here to user. So what I wanna do is query my user account, and again, I'm just going to copy and paste that syntax and replace that string with my GitHub login or my GitHub user account. And if you notice, I've got a red squiggle here because I'm not done yet. Because what did we talk about earlier? GraphQL only returns back exactly what we asked for. And here, I haven't defined what user properties I want back. So that's one thing that's a little different with GraphQL. We can't just say, give me back the whole user. We have to specify exactly what fields we want. So let's jump into user here. So I'll click on the user object. And we can see, again, here's all the fields that we can get back from the user object. So things like there's bio. So we can ask for the user's bio. Let's see, company. Created at, you can see what time or date and time I created my GitHub account. And so now, when I click this play button, that GraphQL query executes and we get our JSON data back. And again, this is just JSON data, deserialize it, you got a C# object, you're good to go. And again, what's cool is we can change this as much as we want. Like I see there's followers here on the right, so we could say followers. And we can ask for the total count, so you can see how many people are watching my GitHub repos. And we can just continue in adding and removing fields to get back exactly the data that we're looking for. So this is pretty cool, right? But where are we? We're in the browser. This browser is running on the GitHub server, so like this is all just happening server side. Like it's pretty cool. We just made our first GraphQL query, but I'm not actually calling it from my machine. So how do we do that from my machine? Well, let's pop open Postman. And what I've gone ahead and done already is I've entered in GitHub's GraphQL API here, and I've selected post. Now this is a little weird because we're talking about GraphQL, we're not talking about REST, but I've selected post. And that's because every GraphQL request is just a post request. So if you know how to do a post request using HTTP client, it's the same code to interact with the GraphQL API. And that's true for both queries, that's true for also mutations. It's just a post request. So that post request, it does need a body, so let's enter in some JSON here. And this is also pretty easy because there's only one field. There's one field and that is query. And what do we put for query? Well, we just copy and paste exactly what we just discovered walking through Graphical. So let me copy that here, paste it, clear out some of those carriage returns. Otherwise, it'll get mad at me. One more. There we go. And so now, when I click send, from my computer, from Postman, we'll be making this GraphQL request to GitHub's GraphQL API. And there we go. And there's exactly the data we asked for. So there's my bio, the companies that I worked at, and the date my GitHub account was created. And just like with graphical, maybe we don't want followers anymore. So let's not overfetch that. Let's get rid of that from the query. And now it's gone. And we've changed the shape of the data all from the client side. All right, so I just threw a lot of stuff at you, so let's do a quick review. GraphQL APIs, just one endpoint. You don't need to create multiple API endpoints anymore. GraphQL just has the one endpoint, and when you hit that endpoint, you just request exactly what you want back. GraphQL APIs are self-documenting. So tools like Graphical, GraphQL Playground, they will walk through the GraphQL schema that you write when you create your GraphQL endpoint and then display that in the Documentation Explorer. So no longer do we have to make sure we keep our docs up to date or worry about Swagger, because it's all just baked in for us. And so any user, any developer can now go to our GraphQL API in their browser and see exactly what it can return. GraphQL requests are just post requests. So just like we would with a post REST API, we would use HTTP client, say send posts async, and that's exactly how we interact with every GraphQL API as well. In GraphQL requests, that body is just JSON, so it's one field, it's easy to remember, it's just query, and then we can just copy paste in that GraphQL query that we discovered when we were playing around in Graphical. And that response is JSON, so just like REST APIs, the response that comes back is JSON data. Okay, so enough talking about it. Let's actually write some code. I have just a file new Xamarin Forms app here, so nothing special. If it's been a while since you've spun up a new Xamarin Forms app, this is what it looks like. Nothing pretty, just says, welcome to Xamarin Forms. The only thing I've done ahead of time was to download a couple NuGet packages that we'll be using today, like newtonsoft.json, and we'll be showing off this GraphQL client. And I've got version 2 here, which is still in a pre-release, but has been working great for me. So what are we going to do? Let's play around with that label. So let's just give that label a name, and let's just write some quick and dirty code in our code behind. So let's call this result label. And there we go, done with the XAML. And in the code behind, again, this is going to be quick and dirty code. We're going to keep it pretty simple for the demo. But don't worry about memorizing anything. All the code we're about to write is already done. It's uploaded to GitHub. I'll make sure to give you a chance to download and save that link a little bit later. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. And try not to heckle me too much for not reusing HTTP client and all those bad practices. The sample online is good. Feel free to check that out and share that with your friends and colleagues. So, right, so the first thing we want to do, we need to create a new client. So let's say new HTTP client. And that client needs a couple headers because GitHub says so. So let's add some request headers. So I'm going to cheat and just copy those from Postman here. So one of them is the user agent header. Copy paste. Copy paste. And we also need that authorization header, which I'll be changing after this recording. Whoops. There we go. So we've got our default request headers there. And what do we say? It's just a HTTP post request. So we would normally say what? Client.postAsync. And what's IntelliSense telling me? IntelliSense says we need to pass in the API endpoint and some HTTP content. So let's grab GitHub's API endpoint. Easy. And for that content, again, quick and dirty code. Let's just make some string content. Thanks, Microsoft Security. And new string content. And we'll just copy in, where'd my body go? There it is. Copy, paste. Get rid of these carriage returns. There we go. Keep these quotes. There we go. Missed that one right there. All right. Cool. So we'll pass in the string content here. And that returns back the HTTP response. So let's say HTTP response equals await. And we'll slap the async keyword on there. Like I said, quick and dirty. And so now that we have the response, well, we can get the JSON from it. So JSON is just that. We're going to have to await that too. So HTTP response.content.readAsString async. And that's just JSON. So what do we do, right? We deserialize that into a GitHub user response. That sounds like a good name. And we'll say JSON convert deserialize. And I just realized we never created an object. So let's do that too. Now, let's see. I've got my JSON payload. And I'm going to use my favorite tool. This is called QuickType. And it just converts our JSON into C#. Fun fact, this was actually created by a couple former Xamarin employees, also why it's one of my favorite tools. And let's create that model real quick. So I say GitHub user response. And quick and dirty, copy paste that in. User response. Pass it in the JSON. OK. There we go. And now that we have our response back, we've got the JSON, we've deserialized it. What do we do? Well, update our label, because that's the only thing on the screen. So let's say the label will be the response, and maybe how about bio? Oh, no, why are you getting mad at me? Data. Ambiguity, user response model,
User class has the same property.
I already had it in here from when I was dry running the demos. Look at that. Shame on me. We'll delete one of those. That seems like a good idea. And there we go. All right. And I'll tell you what, before we kick it off, why don't we just say something like getting GitHub data. We'll do a dot, dot, dot so we know there's some action going on. Okay, so some quick and dirty code. We're just newing up an HTTP client. We're saying post async, passing in that GitHub GraphQL query, and getting the response back. So let's see what happens when we build and deploy. And there we go. So we got back exactly what we asked for, and we were able to display it on the screen here. Now, like I said, like this is quick and dirty. The example's online, a little bit prettier, but we're not even using that GitHub client NuGet package that we talked about a minute ago, right? There it is, it's just sitting there waiting for us. So let's do it all over again, but better. So let's change this out. Async task, and we'll just call that get user data original. And never touch that code again. Perfect. Okay, so what do we do with this NuGet package, right? Well, that NuGet package, it has its own client. So we say new GraphQL HTTP client, very original name. And that needs the endpoint. So let's pass that in there for it. Whoops, not all that. Just that right there. Okay. And just like our other client, this client needs the same headers. Easy, copy, paste. Easy, copy, paste. There we go. And this is where things get a little bit different, but also a little bit easier, because that library has what's called a GraphQL request. So let's new that up. And GraphQL request has a property called query already for us. So we don't need to have this nasty string content over here. We can just take that query and add it there as a string. And again, that's just the same query that we're using. Where'd that go? Same query, we could have copy and pasted this as well. All right, so we have our request. That means we can get a response back. Let's call that GraphQL response. And we just say client.sendQueryAsync. And as you probably guessed, we just pass in that GraphQL request. And await it so it stops yelling at me. Cool, so now this is where things get a little interesting. We have our response back, we've got the data back. So what do we do with it, right? It's in this GraphQL response object. Well, one thing we can do, we can say result label dot text equals this GraphQL response dot data. Now, GraphQL response includes this property data for us, and that's because data is always the root object for every GraphQL response. Like if we look back here, data is the root object, and that user object is inside of data. And same with when we did it in Postman, data is the root object. So we can say in our code, the response.data, and this library actually lets us do some dynamic typing, which is kind of cool. So if we know what's coming back, so this field is user, so we can copy paste that in there. And let's do the bio again. We can copy paste that in there. And like I said, this is using dynamic typing to return that data back from us. But I don't know about you, but dynamic typing, it feels icky to me. I'm a .NET developer, right? I want a strongly typed object. So let's do this. Let's show another way we can do it that makes me feel a little bit better. Because we can also say, let's make that the actual user type. So we can say user equals the GraphQL response, and we can say get data field as. So again, data is our root type. So what's that field? Well, it's user. So we can copy paste user right there. And this also wants to know the type. Give it the user object type we created. And now we've deserialized that back using our GraphQL client library. So what we can do now, we can say, result label dot text equals user dot, we already got the bio, so let's go with company. Now, is this great? I mean, this also feels a little weird, right? Because we've now got that hard-coded string there. So what I actually like to do is similar. So let's cheat a little bit. Let's copy these two lines of code. Let's say user two, because the name of the model is user, so why not just use name of, and then tell it to be lowercase, because JSON likes lowercase for whatever reason, and we can add that to our result as well. So that'll be user two, and I think we have one more left. There we go, created at. So cool. So again, just a couple lines of code. The GraphQL NuGet package makes it a little bit easier on us. It includes some built-in libraries. And so now, when we click build deploy, this should come back with my, let's see, what's gonna be first? My bio, then we should see my company and created at. Let's see if it works. And there we go. So, again, just another way you can take advantage of GraphQL APIs. You don't have to use this library. There's, like I said, there's two sample apps that I've uploaded to GitHub for us today. The first one is literally just this code, but a little bit better practices. It's going to use HTTP client as a singleton. It's going to have some resiliency and retry if there's errors, all that fun stuff that we know and love in mobile. And then the second example doesn't use the NuGet package. I kind of recreated it myself, handcrafted it a little bit differently, but then that is also a little bit more complex. So do check those out. And let's see, if you haven't had a chance yet, now's the time. Take out your phones, make sure to grab a picture of this link, bookmark it, share it with your friends, because this is where you'll find everything from today. So this is where you can find the slides, this is where you can find those two samples on GitHub where we're using Xamarin to communicate with GitHub's GraphQL APIs, and I've also included some extra links there for you that I used when I was learning about GraphQL that helped me a lot, and I know they'll be very helpful for you too. Thank you.